We are all called to become saints and to be perfected in charity, to grow in holiness. Not only are we called to that, it is now made possible through Jesus Christ. We are to live differently beginning right now because we live our lives now in Jesus Christ. And we are to love differently because we are capacitated by grace to love Jesus Christ and with his love. And all of this is made possible as we cooperate with grace. The character of Christ has been formed in us as we cooperate with grace. So this thing of actually beginning now is very important. There's a beautiful phrase in Spanish which expresses, like, you know, putting off, let's say, you know, the calling. So it's like, you know, the, you know, just basically, when one, like, postpones, you know, this so often a particular calling, basically, you get to know her in life, yeah. So in the Vatican documents in Lumen Gentium, there's a beautiful short phrase, which I'll read out to you, about this call to holiness. It says, like, the Lumen Gentium, the Second Vatican Council affirmed the teaching of Jesus Christ, the clear teaching and witness of the early church, and the consistent teaching of church council throughout the ages. Holiness of life is not an option for any member of the church. We are all called to Christian perfection. All the faithful, whatever their condition or state, are called by the Lord, each in his own way, to that perfect holiness whereby the Father himself is perfect. Yeah. Saint Mother Teresa of Calcutta said once a beautiful phrase, the call to holiness is not a calling just for a small privileged few, but it's an obligation for everyone. So all of us, whatever state of life we find ourselves, we are called to that holiness. So, for example, we just think of the whole world. We think that, like, you know, this call to holiness that Jesus desires, a passionate desire that all priests, bishops and cardinals be holy men of God, united to him. The same is true of married men, single men, young people, children, people of all walks of life and cultures. Yeah. But there's no exception there. Everyone is called to holiness. Yeah. So Jesus said to his disciples, "You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your heavenly Father. For he makes his sun rise on the bad and the good, and causes rain to fall on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what recompense will you have? Do not the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brothers only, what is unusual about that? Do not the pagans do the same? So be perfect, just as your heavenly Father is perfect." That's in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, 43-48. So, God, who is love, like, fashioned us in his image. We're made in his image and likeness. We are made to love as he loves. In Jesus Christ, we are also, we would say, capacity to, you know, to participate in, you know, in this work of redemption, How is that possible? By a life of offering ourselves, our lives, our joys, our sufferings, our works, in union with Him in order to sanctify ourselves and sanctify other people. Now, there's in John 14:3, we have a beautiful phrase from Jesus Christ when he said the following. It says, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and I will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place that I'm going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Now, when Jesus said he was going to go away and prepare, "I'm going away to prepare a place for you," he's referring to heaven. And this place in heaven is not just reserved only for his disciples. He is declaring those words to all humanity. He's declaring those words to every person through the century. He's declaring those words to us. Jesus has a place prepared for us in heaven, but we have to do our work. He has to remind us and push us gently, so that we can, we say, inherit that glorious reward in heaven. Jesus replied, "So therefore, Jesus desires that through the imitation of a son, we become like God." Now, when I say that, obviously, I'm not saying anything like, you know, that refers to the New Age, you know, the New Age movement, like, you know, they say there's kind of this movement called pantheism, which says that everything is God. For example, a stone, that's God. A tree is God. And, of course, the whole thing behind it is if the plants and everything is God, well, then the conclusion is that I am God. And therefore, if I'm God, well, you know, I can do whatever I want. So it's a complete a distortion of the reality. When we look out at nature, we see the mountains here, the fields, the sea, the beauty of creation. What it is, it's a manifestation of God's goodness to us. But we can't conclude that God is a tree. Yeah, we can't say that a stone is God. That's ridiculous. There's no foundation there. The only way we can really say that God is present is when we have the sacrament of the Eucharist. We can definitely say that Jesus Christ is present here. Because, well, why? Because Jesus himself said it in the Last Supper. When he called together his disciples, he says, "This is my body which will be given up for you. Do this in memory of me." So we can say that unmistakably that Jesus is truly present in the Blessed Sacrament and the Eucharist. Okay? So so St. Thomas Aquinas also talks about this situation where, like, you know, we become godly. In what sense? Well, obviously, you know, to become like God, that means that we have to imitate Jesus Christ. And to imitate Jesus Christ, we have to imitate his humility, his surrender to God's will, his obedience to God. And of course, you know, to his life of dedication to God the Father, and, you know, to offer up all the sufferings. To basically the essence of all that vocation is to love, because that is the only that is the profound meaning that we have in our vocation, to love. All of us are called without exception to a vocation to love God with all our hearts, with all our soul, with all our might, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. Now, when we follow Christ and imitate his example, that means, like, you know, if we live a holy life, obviously, you know, when we come to our death, we pray and we hope that we will, God will receive us, and that through this life we avoid purgatory. It's important to remember here that purgatory is, you know, a very undesirable place to be, because the sufferings there are very, very intense. So it's better to do our purgatory here. So if they say to you, you know, like, you know, that you've, you have a very rare illness that, you know, you can't, it's terminal, you know, just offer up to that to the Lord, live it as best you can, suffer it, ask the Lord for that strength to suffer it here, in order to enter, do your purgatory here, and then at the end, that God may receive you in heaven. Now, in heaven, there are thrones of glory reserved for all of those who have completed God's holy will here in this life. And in that sense, you know, when we talk about, you know, that God wants to, make man godlike, it means that, like, you know, if we live out holiness in this life, we will inherit a glorious throne in heaven one day. And we will experience a plenitude of life, a joy that is so intense, a peace that is beyond description. And that is for all eternity. Once you get in the door, you know, there's no going back. Yeah. We're there forever in the presence of the Blessed Trinity, the Holy Mother of God, with the martyrs, the saints, the angels. It's the plenitude of life. That means to say, like, you know, that's our destiny. That's, like, you know, the only motive that we're here on this earth is for that. And unfortunately, very, very sadly, there are so few, well, that, you know, realize that. They think, like, you know, that life is about, like, you know, having a party, living it up, you know, going after the pleasures of life, living only for oneself. And therefore, like, you know, they, as a result, they, you know, their whole lives become, they fall into every type of vice and sin. And it's a complete mess there, because they are completely snared and captured on all sides by the enemy. So some seven basic steps to holiness. Oh, sorry, before this, I want to say one thing. There's just one of the things that we can hear often as well is, like, you know, that, you know, Jesus is God. You know, and, you know, when, how can I actually, with say, imitate his example? You know, because Jesus is God. He lived on another level. I'm here. Poor me. Like, I can't, you know, live up to that. The thing about it is, holiness is possible. You know, I'm going to give you a small example. Maybe you heard of Blessed Bartolo Longo, an Italian very holy man. He died on the 5th of October 1926, and basically he was an Italian lawyer who was he's a layman, and but basically his story is, like, you know, when he was 10 years old, he grew into, like, a very Christian family, but he was orphaned at the year, 10 years old. So then he was living with, you know, some other family members. Then he went off to university. And when he was in university, he got into, like, you know, this, seance groups, like these, like, witchcraft groups. And so was very intriguing. So he just said, like, you know, he went into this group and he got further involved until such point as he actually became a satanic priest. And he was like, you know, in the thick of it, really. He was really like, you know, all these sessions they have to, you know, blaspheme God. But all of this contact with the evil was so intense in his life that it caused a huge mental, with a division in himself, that he was completely anguished. He couldn't sleep. He was, you know, that's the effect of evil. It's the most horrible reality, that it was causing him, like, you know, huge anguish. It was destroying him, basically. And so he decided, like, eventually that through at a friend, like, he wanted to get out of this. So he actually eventually came to talk to a priest, and the priest advised him, like, you know, if he was going to continue that way, he would end up in hell. He had to leave it. So he took that advice, he confessed his sins, and he got out of that. He went back to that group. And he told openly in that group that he believed in Jesus Christ and that he denounced, you know, Satan. And that, of course, was like very, very risky because they could have beaten him up, you know, to pulp. But he broke away from them. Then, like, you know, he became a big devout. You know, he was very devoted to the rosary, pray the rosary. He got married. And then he became, he actually, in Pompeii in like Italy, he actually, in that area, like, he received like an illumination or, locution, from Our Lady, where, he understood that she wanted, a church, a basilica, and they're dedicated to her, Our Lady of the Rosary. So he started, like, you know, negotiating all that and getting all the plan permission and all, and with the help of donations, you know, there was a huge and beautiful basilica built in honor of Our Lady. There were three of our, one of our priests and two brothers in Rome. We were talking to them yesterday on the hangout, and they were telling us that they went there to visit their last weekend. So basically, he dedicated his works to the formation, the poor people, and you know, he died a holy death. So, like, why am I mentioning his example? Because you can see here a man who is up to his neck in, like, very, very grave sin is now a saint. And he's not the only one. There's several other, like, you know, very, very holy men and women who are in heaven, who in their previous life have, like, you know, we say, offended God immensely. But there came a point in their life where, like, before and after, like, you know, from here, it's different. From here on out, I'm going to change. Yeah. But it's a whole process as well. You know, you can't just say, like, you know, say, I'm just breaking off here, because, you know, it's, you know, one has to enter into and, like, you know, go on that path and be decisive and be dedicated to becoming holy. Yeah. So now we go on to the seven basic steps to holiness. How does one get to heaven? By being a saint on earth. And how does one become a saint? By living a life of holiness. And in what does holiness consist? So, well, these are kind of like these seven steps in order to help you. The first thing would be holiness consists in being childlike. Our Lord himself asserted, unless you turn and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. This is in Matthew 18:3. But as you have undoubtedly heard many times, being childlike is quite different from being childish. Yeah. The attitude of a young child, a small child, always has a focus of reference. The parents, the young child can recognize the voice of daddy and mommy. And so The child, like, you know, when I, if the child feels insecure, hungry, always mom and dad. Yeah. Because the child knows that, like, you know, everything is going to come there. He's going to get fooding. He's going to get, like, you know, with a thrown up in the air, you know, he's getting being tickled and all, you know, all this love and tenderness. Yeah. All the security. He's going to be looked after. He's going to be washed and clean. He's going to be fed. Yeah, he's going to be formed and so on. So basically, you know, this is the attitude basically that we have to have with God. It means taking out the obstacles that are inside of us. Because unfortunately, and God knows it very, very well, that as human beings, we are very complicated. We have this disorder inside of us, this self-love. And this, like, very often, you know, it takes over a lot, and, you know, it distorts this confidence that we should have with the Lord. So we have to have this confidence with God. Yeah. The second point would be holiness consists in having a strong love for the Holy Eucharist. You cannot point to a single saint in history who did not have a special devotion to the Jesus Christ in the Eucharist. So this is very important. Adoration is just a wonderful form of, you know, getting into the presence of God. See, there's so many people who've had, like, you know, very, very powerful experiences of, you know, just going into, it's an adoration chapel. Maybe by chance. There's one story, there's like loads of stories out there, but, like, you know, there's one particular story that a priest who's in this, like, adoration movement, he talks about how, we say, you know, this lady, I think she was in Argentina, but she had, like, you know, her turn of adoration, and she had it, like, fixed. It was like perpetual adoration. So everything was fine. She went there. But then there was one time, like, where she actually couldn't actually complete her turn of adoration because she had to go somewhere. So it was an important commitment. She had to leave us. So she had to get somebody to cover for her. Now, she had to ask this other friend who wasn't into the faith, you know, wasn't going to the church. And she asked her if she could do that favor just to go there, you know, for a 1 hour. So the friend was very reluctant, but in the end, like, you know, she was a friend, so okay, I'll do it. Yeah, let's see. So she went there to her friend went there into the chapel, went in there to spend an hour, and she was profoundly impacted by the peace that she experienced in that chapel. Yeah. Because, I mean, that is the presence of God. If you go into, like, let's say, just a normal room, for example, like, you know, these, you know, people in the New Age movement, and they're all, like, you know, just this posture and looking up, and just, you just won't experience that. It's ridiculous, all that nonsense, you know. But if you go into, let's say, a chapel before the Blessed Sacrament, you're before the living God, who is surrounded by saints and angels. We are here in this room, yeah, we have Jesus and the Blessed Sacrament before us, and we are at the same time surrounded by that heavenly company of the angels and the saints. So we are truly blessed. Yeah. The next point, the third one, would be holiness consists in, of course, devotion to our Blessed Mother, the Holy Virgin Mary. Yeah. Well, that, as God, of course, is you know, very, something very obvious. So it says here in, like, you know, in the catechism, just a beautiful phrase that says, making reference to Our Lady, taken up to heaven, she did not lay aside the saving office, but by her manifold intercession continues to bring us the gifts of eternal salvation. Therefore, the Blessed Virgin is invoked in the Church under the titles of Advocate, Helper, Benefactress, and Mediatrix. So that's beautiful, you know. She's not just up there, like, you know, just walking in the gates, in the gardens of paradise, and like not looking as she is concerned about all humanity. And of course, that is, you know, manifested especially in the Marian apparitions, where she repeatedly calls for conversion, prayer, and penance. The next one, the fourth point, would be holiness consists in doing ordinary things of life extraordinarily well. We have the example of Saint Thérèse of Lisieux. She was in a convent, a Carmelite sister. What did she do? She just did everything, very, very simple things in the convent, with extraordinary love. Yeah. She believed that God is in the details, and that attending to such details led one along the road of perfection. The fifth point consists in embracing the sufferings that come our way. So we all have different crosses and, you know, sufferings in life. It's very, very important, like, you know, to affront them in the correct way. Because if we have, like we say, an awkward person come into our life, somebody difficult, it could be a neighbor or, you know, maybe a dispute in the family, or, you know, can be different things. It's important to approach all that with love, with charity, with forgiveness, and praying for that person, for the healing of that person. Six, the holiness consists in the desire to please God. It's very straightforward. How do I please God? I want to keep the commandments. Yeah. Then the seven, the last one, is holiness consists in having a sense of humor. It's kind of an interesting one. Some people have added an 11th commandment to the Decalogue. It says, thou shalt not be, well, you can't be glum. You can't be, you know, with, say, bad humor. But you can see that obviously in, you know, in what we listened to this morning with Mother Angelica, wonderful, beautiful soul, filled with God's joy and holiness. Towards the end of her life, you know, she had stroke, and she could, like, she always had like an attitude of, like, you know, she wanted to continue on suffering for Jesus, suffering for souls, which is a wonderful soul. Yeah. So her example is just, you know, a light for so many souls. There's several examples of many, many saints who are like, you know, had just had a wonderful joy about them. So, you know, they can laugh at so many things, you know, some things that are so like small and, you know, just really like laugh. It's obviously not the same as a laugh in the world, because, you know, there's a distinction between the joy of the Christians and also we say the joys of those who are, you know, in the world. Yeah. Right. So there, the joy comes about because of the awareness of that the greatest battles in life against the world, the flesh, and the devil have been fought and won by Jesus Christ. It but remains for us to claim that victory. So that victory is won for us, but now we have to actually do our part in order to claim that victory. Now, it's interesting, like, you know, in these times that we're living in, because there is a movement of young people, holy, holy people, who have, like, you know, they're coming to the fore, basically, especially in Italy and also other parts. But you're talking about, like, you know, young girls and also young lads that have died young in different circumstances. But actually, there are causes of, of sanctification and beatification are opened. So it's actually really like, I guess, a slap in the mouth for those liberals and those who want to always tarnish the church as, you know, just a place for old people. And, you know, it does, you know, it doesn't actually have to anything to do with young people. But you have actually people. There are several examples. The names now, Carlos Acutis, he's one of them. You probably know about him. He's 15 years old. He died in Italy. And then this Chiara Lubic is another one. And there's this other ones that I can't remember their names. Yeah. In our own community, thanks be to God, we have also seen fruits of holiness from people who've died. From like two sisters, Sister Claire, Sister Ruth, also Father Henry, who was ordained with me and died suddenly last year. And also like five other young girls from Ecuador who were killed in the earthquake there in 2016. Wonderful girls, marvelous, you know. Really very spiritual. And, you know, we're convinced that they're all up there in heaven just having a big party, you know. So in my own personal life, I've actually experienced, like, you know, some wonderful, very, very profound examples of holiness. I was in a hospital there, I was telling you, in Spain as a chaplain, like, several years ago. And I was... you know, doing the rounds, the, you know, giving people communion. So I met this lady, elderly lady, and, you know, she greeted me with, you know, very warm-hearted. She was very happy to see me, you know, very friendly. And she had, like, you know, some small prayer cards of Our Lady, just, like, you know, beside her bed. She had been involved in an accident where she was knocked down. And her hips were, you know, so she couldn't actually move there. She was like, you know, it was very, very painful, you know, situation. The poor woman was suffering a lot. She had an extraordinary faith, you know, and at one moment she, you know, she had this, like, you know, like spark of life. She was just like so friendly and good hearted. And she said, "Father, I am offering up all these sufferings that I'm experiencing, you know, like for Spain, for the conversion of Spain." So I was just amazed. Wow, this woman is, she's really in love with Our Lady. And, you know, she really, like, has a desire to, you know, to see the people convert. And of course, like, you know, there are so many other people, like, you know, that just, like, you know, if they had an accident like that, it would be caused, like, you know, they'd be complaining, moaning, frustration, you know. So they don't have that supernatural way of looking at it. So when one has that, like, faith and sees, like, you know, that the sufferings that I'm having, experiencing now, I can offer it to God in reparation of my own souls and the souls of other people, that's very, very pleasing to God. Yeah. There's another example as well that I have of, you know, say two examples. One is when I was talking about, you know, these young people, they're like, you know, on the path of holiness. There's a young girl in Spain died recently. It was about 2 years ago. Her name was Elena. She died in her, you know, early 20s. Beautiful soul. She was diagnosed with cancer. Like, it was one of these rare types of cancers, like a leukemia. And, like, you know, she was involved in prayer groups, and she had her spiritual director and so on. And so, you know, all this, she started suffering. And then, like, it was, you know, there's no hope. So what did she do? She offered up her sufferings for priests. She offered up for the Lord for a conversion of many souls. So, you know, she offered up, especially for priests. And I'm sure the poor girl, like, you know, she suffered a lot because, you know, the priests, you know, they
All priests like need a lot of prayers, and like you know, when one offers themselves a priest, they're going to suffer because the Lord does desire to renew that call of holiness, especially among priests, even in these times. Yeah. So this poor girl, when I say poor, I mean I guess you know you couldn't. What I'm saying really is that. You know, the suffering that she got through, but I mean, in another sense, she's immensely enriched in the sense that she was like a soldier for Christ. So, I mean, in the end, like, you know, her system, like, you know, it was just like manufacturing, like, went crazy, you know, manufacturing loads of blood cells. And like, in the end, she had like a month of a lot of suffering where she was in confined, where all the blood just came out of her pores. So she was bathed in, you know, in blood. And her face was like the priest that went in to like anoint her, and she was kind of like sealed off in an area in the hospital. She, you know, she, you know, he says that her face wasn't so like, it was like more or less like untouched, but like all the rest of her. So it was like, you know, it was, you know, where she was really offered herself like with Jesus on the cross. Another wonderful example, and with this I'll finish, is an elderly woman I know personally here in Ireland. She is an extraordinary woman, a saint, convinced of that. She has offered herself years ago for priests. And my God, has she suffered, and is she suffering? You know, she's suffered a lot. But of course, she's very, very humble and very simple. You know, talking about like, you know, her sufferings, that she doesn't like get into a lot of details. You know, she does mention things. But she has like, you know, suffered tremendously. And she offers up that all those sufferings for the sanctification of priests, which is very extraordinary, really amazing. So, I mean, like, you know, God has his friends. They're out there. They're hidden away. You'll never, obviously, have programs on RTE or any other, like, you know, place about, you know, saints or, you know, people who are doing extraordinary things. But only to attack and, you know, we'd say to belittle the church, mock the church, that's, you know, straight away they have a microphone in there for you, and they're, you know, they're just going putting money into your pockets and say, that's great. Yeah, we put that up on the air, you know. So, I mean, the Lord is still working in the world, and he has called us to be saints. Now, you never doubt that possibility that we can become great saints. That's within our stride. And even though we might say, like, you know, I do want to become a saint, you know, you have to think that Jesus and Mary desire that a lot more than yourself. And they can bring about, you know, with, say, that extra shove on the way, that push that will actually, you know, bring you to holiness. I mean, I'm thinking of like in our own community, we have Father Henry. This is his prayer card there. If some of you may have seen him, you know, this card before, but basically he was ordained with me, and like he died suddenly last year because he had epilepsy. He fell, he was in a convent giving a retreat in the morning. He fell, he had an epileptic fit, he fell and died. He had a fatal blow to his head. But like we are all convinced, like, you know, that his soul like went straight to heaven because he was very united to God. He suffered a lot in the last 2 years, but he was always very joyful, very childlike. He had a great confidence in God, and you know, he was just a wonderful example for us. And of course, we missed him a lot. You know, we cried when the funeral, but you know, we have that that security that, you know, he's still very close to us. So go forward, don't be afraid. That's your vocation.
never give up, keep fighting. Because that's, you know, that's that is the greatest calling. And it is possible. There are hundreds and thousands of millions of young men, women, children all over in every corner of the world down through the centuries who have fought this battle against evil and against sin, and they've won it. And they have secured their place in heaven, and we can do the same. So we ask Our Lady to help us, and so that we, when it's our time to go, that we may be able to be worthy to go directly to heaven, to be embraced by God the Father. Amen.